Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again this morning, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. It comes up often in our three-year lectionary cycle, and we hear about it from Luke and also in Mark's gospel, and it is one that many of us could simply tell by heart. We all know it. We all understand the miracle. And if we couple it with our Old Testament reading this morning from Isaiah, we see what looks to be an obvious theme here. Food, fine food, eating, and drinking. But what makes this miracle particularly different is that we often see Jesus teaching and healing, but other than the wine into water at the wedding in Cana, this type of miracle is rather rare for Jesus in his ministry. Now, the miracle itself is rather straightforward. Jesus finds himself dealing with a rather large crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children. I mean, we could be looking at thousands and thousands more people than the original 5,000. And here, Jesus provides essentially dinner for all of them. They ate and they were satisfied, as if systemic hunger was a real issue for the people. Now, to be fair, many people in the day of Jesus did not know where their next dinner was coming from. So to eat and to have their fill was quite a day to remember. But our text does not begin with hungry people. It starts a very different way. When Jesus heard this, and what did Jesus hear? What Jesus heard was how Herod had killed his cousin John the Baptist, beheading him so that he would not look bad in front of the guests that filled his banquet hall, one sin compounded upon another. And that's the real issue through this entire reading. Sin that destroys everything that God made good. And the brokenness of this world caused by that sin runs through this text. John being murdered by Herod. It continues with the disciples getting tired and cranky because it's been a long day. Even Jesus feels it in the sorrow over John's death, to the point of wanting to simply get away into the wilderness and be alone. And finally, there's the obvious effects of sin, and that is shortages and deficiencies. In this case, not enough food for this crowd at this particular time. Now, it may seem rather obvious that the answer here is for Jesus to simply deal with all of these issues all at once in an earth-shaking miracle, a divine show of power. But we also know that Jesus, in what we call his state of humiliation that he's in, only exercises that power as he applies it to the plan of salvation. You see, if Jesus were to go around performing miracles to show his power and might, as in perhaps destroying Herod for what he had done and raising John from the dead, well, that would have been very satisfying for the people to see. They would have been even impressed the disciples, and certainly all of the crowd gathered. But they would not show Jesus as the compassionate Savior. Power for power's sake is not the way of the kingdom, nor is it the way of the Messiah. So then why is using his divine power to create food for the people any different? Well, we could reference Exodus here, when God provides manna and quail for the people, or even in 2 Kings, where Elijah commands a man to feed 100 men with 20 small loaves of bread. So this is not the first time in Scripture that we've seen this. But even so, the crowd failed to see the connection with Jesus. the promised Messiah, the fulfillment of the Messiah in him, and neither did the disciples. What did they miss? Well, the disciples and the crowd saw the miracle as the fulfillment of everything that Jesus had come to do. They thought they received the entire meal, when in reality, they only received a small taste. Perhaps we can say that the final effect of sin in our reading today is that of the natural knowledge of God has become so clouded that they miss the promised Messiah standing right before their eyes. Now, while we may be many centuries removed from this text, and let's face it, we don't really wonder where our next meal is coming from, do we? But we do continue to deal day in and day out with the same sin-filled brokenness of our world. A world filled with tragic and senseless death. Just look at what happened a week ago in Seattle. We too face physical and spiritual fatigue that makes us want to just run away and hide sometimes. And we wonder, why does God not use his power to simply put an end to all the evil in the world? We say these things because we fail to understand Jesus. Buried in dusty theological books tucked away someplace, this is called the theology of glory. It's what our sinful nature wants. Give us food and a sign. Yeah, that's it. Give us a miracle and we will all believe. But you see, that's not believing. That's just seeing. It's not faith. It's what the crowd wanted. And when they didn't get it, many of them stopped following Jesus. Perhaps one of the most important parts of our text here, which is often overlooked by many, is this. Jesus had compassion on them. Even in his own sorrow, and he is deeply moved by them. That's the way Mark puts it. It is this state of being that causes Jesus to act in great ways. In this case, it was healing first, something that is often also overlooked in this text. But even greater than the short-term miracle of food, because let's face it, that's only going to last a day, but then the same compassion is driving Jesus in this same state of humiliation to the long-term miracle of the cross. Here we see Jesus withdrew to the cross, and in this case, a place where no one could follow. In this action, Jesus gives us more information about how he would fulfill what was written about him as the Messiah. He must suffer and die and rise from the dead, and this death would do way more than simply causing Herod's death, and his resurrection would do infinitely more than raising John. So here, not only would Jesus satisfy the needs of the crowd, a great meal, yes, but only a taste, for he would provide forgiveness of sins. Their sins and our sins, even the sins of us wanting something other than what Jesus has to give. So when we look at the crowd, it can be sort of difficult for us to see something common with them. But as we dig, we find more than meets the eye. For even if we become people who long for miracles so that we are convinced, if we hunger for bread instead of righteousness, if we fail to understand the cross, there is still good news for us. For we are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, the truly great miracle here is that Jesus has compassion on the people. The same compassion that leads him to the cross for them and for us. On that day, Jesus looked up to heaven and said a blessing. and performed a miracle so that the people could live for a short time. An amazing act of love, but only a taste. Now Jesus looks at us, blesses us through his word and sacrament, and brings us into the ongoing miracle of salvation for all time and all eternity. Amen.